हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Paramatma Sandarbha, Adhyayana 3, Adhikarana 3, the sameness of the universe and the Lord, Satkaryavad, page 40. The Anucheda 68 illustrates the difference between the Lord, the Jiva, and the material energy, with the analogy of fire, spark, and smoke, and thereby negates the likelihood of a complete equivalence of the Lord of the material creation, because you have to show that he is, the creation is non-different from him, but at the same time is that it's not a complete equivalent, so it's not a complete equalness. So you have to be able to get balance at both. It's the same, but not completely the same. Right? Because otherwise completely the same, then you're just dealing with him. So there is no manifestation of the universe. It's just him. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Visesha means that it's unique and that it's different from what it's come from. But at the same time, as it's the same. The pot, the clay pot, is different, but at the same time, it's not. Right? It's not completely the same. It's not completely different.
So my difficult case to know to which extent, to which extent.
Yes, yes. So that's the whole point, is to get that balance. Yeah. That's then what, why then we always are discussing the philosophy and the different situations, because the tendency is we're not going to necessarily see all that.
Yeah.
Right. So it's very important to, because we're used to material logic and how that works. But the point is even material logic can't understand things, right? Because if now let's say, because nowadays people, you know, they're very, very committed to material logic will work out everything, right? So now if material logic will work out everything and you can understand everything, so then men pride themselves in being logical and practical.
Yes.
Has any of them figured out women?
Not yet.
Yes, not yet. And as Prabhupada points out, they never will.
Yes.
Because logic has a limitation of what it can do. Right? Something connected with math, it can do. Something that's not connected with math, is connected with it can't do. Does that make sense? Yeah, it means, even okay, you can take the math and you can say, okay, this many, you know, micrograms of this particular, you know, how you say, chemical combination from this gland, you know, went into the system at this time, and so this and that, but you can't still understand what the emotion that it creates is and what the feeling, the experience, and everything. Yeah, so that's the whole point, is even on the material platform, logic has its limits. Right? So people claim, yes, we're logical, we're this and that, we don't go with all these sentiments, and then they're out in the street marching about a sentiment, burning things down because of a sentiment. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Thus, the material energy is only an amsa of the Lord and can't function independent of him. Further, the next Anucheda specifies that the universe, because the Mayavadas are saying it's functioning on its own. Material energy, or you know, illusion, is covering on its own Brahman and creating the Jiva and then keeping the Jiva in control. But if the Jiva then somehow or another is able to come beyond this ignorance, then he creates knowledge, then that creates Ishwara. You know, in other words, I, getting out of my ignorance, create the person who created me. You know, that's kind of, it's on the same intellectual platform as the guy talking about, it's a poem or something from the 60s, that they're sitting on the metro, you know, the train, going. I'm sitting here digging on the guy, digging on the guy, digging on me. It's about that much an intellectual prowess, that many synapses or half a synapse that it takes there, you know. So that's the problem, is that it may use fancier words, they may juggle them their fancy, but it's still the same. Right? The technique is the same. Whether you're juggling Rubik's cubes or you're juggling oranges, the technique's the same. Does that make sense? So, yeah. So you think, oh yes, no, he's a very intellectual juggler. He juggles Rubik's cubes. You know. Thus the material, okay. Further, the next anucheta specifies that the universe can be understood as real only by those who respect and worship Paramatma and not by others. So technically, only the Vaishnavas can actually understand. Right? And so there'll be someone that means, so those who are Sampradayak Vaishnavas, they'll properly understand. Those that aren't Sampradayak, properly situated Sampradayak Vaishnavas, and all that, they'll, to some degree, like you see in the world religions, that the monotheistic, they're technically Vaishnav. Vaishnav means monotheistic. Right? So the Vedic term is Vaishnav, the Western term is monotheistic. So it's the same thing. But, you know, because that somehow or another in the parampara, that line, it's not kept properly. So therefore, then, they don't really understand as deeply. So, but they have some understanding about you know, respect and worship Paramatma. You know, because they worship the Lord as the witness, you know, the judge, the creator, the maintainer, the story. Like these aspects of Paramatma, they respect that. But they don't really understand him as Bhagavan, that he has all the qualities and he's a person. If you say it, they're comfortable with that. Just like the yogi, he has no problem you talk about Bhagavan. He sees Bhagavan as Paramatma, just like the Yadus, you know. They see him as Paramatma. You know, Bhagavan's there, he's doing his pastimes, but Paramatma is the feature. Or just like those in Shantaras, then it's that Brahman aspect that is how they see everything. They're there, they're seeing Bhagavan and appreciating, but they're appreciating that unlimited facets of it, and how this is another one of his unlimited qualities. It's always in that context of the unlimited. Does that make sense? But it's still there, so it's just where your focus is. Like that. And so then here's, they have that, so they're also in that way Vaishnava, but it's more focused on Paramatma, and because they don't have enough knowledge, they basically will, if they're further questioned, they can only understand up to Brahman. Right? So like that, it's not as scientific. So,
The difficulty seems to be with the discussing Satkaryavad with the world religion. I'm not sure about Buddhism, but with the Abrahamic, is that whatever they describe, they start Genesis or creation, it's all here. It's never beyond the border.
Oh, okay. They're not discussing what's beyond. I mean, technically, there is a little indication of the Garden of Eden, that there's something where God walks and he as a person, interacts with Adam and Eve. Like that, and then they because I don't know about others, the other Abrahamic, but in the, from what I understand from the Judaic, that the eating of the apple, the effect of it was, is it created mundane identity. That was the main thing. It was a covering. Upadis, they gained upadis at that time, but before that they were just, you know, associates of the Lord. So you have some kind of indication, you know? Because, I mean, you're talking about, a long time since those individuals were necessarily directly involved with the Vedic culture. You know, and you see it very quickly can disappear, because Abraham's, his father, he was a demigod worshiper.
Yeah.
You know, specifically sun. I think his main deity was the sun god.
Yeah.
But he was a demigod worshiper. And so, you know, there'd be that Abraham would have that idea of the monotheistic aspect. But it's also not complete. It's not like these demigods are there, but they're servants of that one supreme Lord. Right? And because you can't see the Lord, then they tend to go with the impersonal. And even, you know, we have that aspect where it's Moses sees the Lord, right? It's not Abraham. Moses, no?
Moses.
Yeah. But he's basically seeing an aspect of the universal form because of that terrible, like you see Arjuna sees. He sees a bigger aspect. And it's terrible to behold and all this kind of things like that. So he's not actually seeing, going back to, you know, the full form, Paramatma and Bhagavan. It's still the material feature like you pointed out there. But at the same time, as we see up through Moses, that all the patriarchs and the great personalities, they would go into the tabernacle and they would talk with God. After that, then it was a very rare thing. But up to Moses, and it was pretty basically, you know, daily they could go in and hang out. But after that, it seemed to be a very rare occasion that they would get that effect. I think once they built the temple and all that, because up to Moses, I think there was no temple. It was always just the tabernacle was carried around. But after that, then I think the temple was built. And then, it, you know, the more the ritualized aspects and the formality came in, so people can get distracted and they get a little more distant. You know, before it was just a tent. So that aspect is, you can see where these elements of the impersonal comes in, where the elements of Paramatma come in. There's a tinge of the Bhagavan, so you can talk about it, but it's not a prominent element. But like you say, the emphasis is just within the creation. You know, so it's all mixed up. So you see, it's just like in stories. You have stories as they get handed down, they start changing. So that can be a problem. So it's only once I think the Torah was written, you know, would have been written, I think, within the Kali Yuga. I don't think it was written before. Right? All those Wallas that were living 600, 900 years, it wasn't written then, it was after that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that would be within Kali Yuga. Because even those personalities, I think, they may have been within, they born in the Dwapara, but, you know, lived into the Kali. And so then once it's written, then they were very careful that not a letter would be changed. Like that. So that would be, you know, then you'd have more of a stability. But then now you have the understanding of the stories. You know, because they have Noah's Ark and these and that, but the time frame of that, you know, the Noah's Ark would have been quite a ways back. You know, you would have had that Vaivasvatamanu at the beginning, and this is now, 28 Kali Yuga's in. But that would have been in between, in the Sunday, between the two Manvantars.
Right.
Because in between there's a destruction. So then, and with that Matsya avatar, so they don't seem to have the time frame. They know the stories, but, you know, like they talk of the creation, it was done by sound and desire of the Lord. So these are true elements, but it's not really scientifically, so they don't see the Lord, they don't see the Pradhan, they don't see all these steps like this, they don't see the spiritual. So, like you say, is that all that's left is these mainly dealing with the creation here, and specifically creating humans and their environment. So at least it's focused on the humans, because human life is meant for self-realization. They're the ones supposed to be religious. But at the same time, it didn't have so much development. Right? Because otherwise, when they left the garden, still that sword is put at the gate, so that, one, to protect anybody from coming in that's not qualified, but two, to give direction as to where the gate is. You know, so that they could come back. But, You know, so it's just, it's not completely fully understood. So, you know, so that's why then Prabhupada say the scriptures, you know, they're scriptures. They're these great personalities are involved in that. But at the same time is then you're going to have the particular audience that they're dealing with and everything like that. So that's why the uniqueness of the Bhagavatam is that it's meant for Paramahamsas. Even we're not a Paramahamsa, it's meant for Paramahamsas, and by reading it we can come to that platform. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, the audiences that are dealt with may not be, you know, so I mean, your Abrahamic basically are all focused on karma, you know, karma yoga. Mm-hmm. Or as Prabhupada mentioned, another place, I think in the Gita is talking about karma maya yagya. You know, there might be another word used, but it just means the offering of the ingredients and efforts and results of karma in the yagya sacrifice to the Lord. Like that. So the Jnanamaya yagya is not really prominent. It means you'll have a few scholars and it's all right. But they're not necessarily your prominent personalities. Right. Well, in Bhagavatam, then these great sages and that, they're prominent personalities. And the kings that are Rajarshis are trained in this knowledge. They're the prominent personalities. So it's just a matter of it's the Vaishnava tradition is being explained, but somehow or another it's not going so deep into the philosophy, so it's more just the religion, and even that, much of that has to be generated, right? Means Moses walks off, where does all that ritual come from? So it has to be developed, you know, just like the Christians walk off from Christianity. Where are all those rituals? You know, you go to the Vatican, you know, they got rituals going on all day. Where did they come from? You know, basically except for the Yarmulke, then everything else is, they created that. I mean, there is some wine and you deal with the wine. So a few essential points have been maintained. You know, you don't want to be fanatic, you know, like that. So that's the difficulty, is that even they're there, and even these things may have been given by the Lord in the Judaic aspect, or there may be so many elements that are given by Muhammad, but in the Christian, then it'll be much less. That they somehow or another, by their practices, leading personalities in their practice, certain practices become accepted, and then they become canon. You know, which is all right, but the problem is that then they get start identifying with those things, and that's the thing, and so they don't see that they're Vaishnavas. They see, I'm Christian, I'm Catholic, I'm this, I'm that, you're that, you know, and even within themselves, the Christians and amongst themselves, the Catholics, the Protestants, you know, or the Shiites and Sunnis. I heard that there's thousands, actually, of branches. I always thought that there was just these two. There's actually either hundreds or thousands of finer branches like that. But, you know, I think it's in these two major categories. And they don't get along. So the whole point is that that's because of identifying with the external ritual of expression more than the actual core point of Vaishnavism. You know, so that's the point. When they don't deal with the essence, they just start from themselves and what's important to them, their field, so other people have a similar field. You know, birds of a feather flock together. So, like that, okay. But it's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be flocking together on the levels of consciousness, not on the external. So that's why then when you're dealing with pure devotional service, that's universal religion. Because that's sad-dharma, that deals with the soul. Everything else is not up to that kind of position. Is that okay? Yeah, okay. Good.
So, Maharaj, I think that somewhere it is mentioned that religion like Christianity or Islam is for people who are eating meat.
Basically, it's Vaishnavism for maleches. you know, mlechas and yavanas. It's supposed to be technically yavanas, but problem is they take on that mlecha nature that they don't agree with other scriptures, especially the Vedic. So that's the difficulty that comes up. At least especially Christians and the Christianity. Because they're more offshoots. Judaism is the original form. They have less of a problem. You know, as a culture and all that, they have less of a problem. They have a problem with the deity worship. That somehow or another annoys them. But at the same time, as like you say, they're committed yavanas. They somehow don't think it's religious to be, you know, like that. You can't actually be a follower of God unless you're a meat-eater. So there they're kind of missing the point. You know. They're missing the point.
Yeah. One of the explanations, mlecha means the one who can pronounce Veda properly.
Okay.
Mumbling.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So this is one of the reasons, because they couldn't pronounce them properly, then they would say.
Okay. Yes. But I have an idea that I think the line that they may have come in, like Abraham and his father's line, they may have been Samavedis. Because you have the element of the singing. And you also have the aspect is that they use a lunar calendar.
Right. Yeah.
You know, as a prominent thing. So you have some elements that are left over from the Vedic. Because it's supposed to be when you're doing, you know, the rituals properly, they're supposed to be sung. You just don't say them.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, when you're doing everybody together like that, they're kind of like their sadhana, their kind of remembrance, then they may chant them together. But when you're having, the high holidays, then they'll sing the mantras. You know, and I think they all have tones, they all have notes, so it's fixed. It's not you can sing it any way you like. You know, it's not like you can, you know, sing the Shema in the tune of Gateway. You know, it's a Stairway to Heaven, you know, or something like that. No, you have to stick to, the notes. So that conception is probably left over from the Veda in general, but because they're using the singing aspect from the Sama. You know. And we're Sama Vedis, our line, you know, from Lord Chaitanya, and so therefore then I say Prabhupada said he's the Jewish guru. Thus, except for devotees of the Lord, no one can perceive the universe as an amsha or natural shakti of Paramatma. So to that degree, that if they're coming in the pure Vaishnava line, then it's understood very easily. If it's just a general Vaishnava line, so then it'll be to some degree, but not fully. So in other words, if it's just a little discussion, it's all right. But if you get into trying to make the Siddhanta there, then that's will be a problem. So that's not where you put. You push on that love for Krishna. You probably see love for God. That's where Prabhupada would emphasize. Right? Because that's the goal. These others are techniques and, you know, religious processes to help you get there. So he would just deal with the essential points. Anucheta 60. It has been said that the gross consciousness and gross conscious and unconscious forms, the conditioned jiva, and the elements like earth arise from Paramatma. Okay. So that means that the gross conscious and unconscious form. So that means the living entities and the unconscious form, the material energy. Right? So here's the gross conscious because the living entities are in this gross consciousness. But all of them, they arise from Paramatma, who has shaktis of pure jiva and prakriti. Right? So the prakriti has its pure form, and there is the natural, he's the source of pure jiva. Right? Conscious and unconscious entities. Oh, okay. Pure jiva and prakriti, conscious and unconscious entities in subtle form. Right. So the jiva is the conscious, and the prakriti is the unconscious. The wise consider that the one Paramatma is both the efficient cause, Nimitta, as pure Paramatma, and material cause, Upadana, as the Lord endowed with Shaktis. Right? So Paramatma, he's taking this, but there's the Lord endowed with Shaktis, that aspect. Then from that he's, what do you call it? From that aspect, he's taking care. So you also see is that you have the super soul, he's taking care of everything. You know, as Kiradakshaya Vishnu, as the Nimitta, like that, and Karanadakshaya Vishnu, he's the Upadana. Right? Means that aspect is there. Means all whatever is available within the universe to be worked with, that he's there. Paramatma then manages that. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you have something, and then you manage that. So Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is the Upadana or the Dravyas, and then there's the universal form. So that's the grossest form of the Lord, right? And then as Paramatma, then he meant, according to the karma of the living entity, then someone gets this particular body endowed with these sense, gross and subtle bodies, you know, the qualities of it, and someone else gets something different. So you have both features of the Lord. Does that make sense? But Prakritis cha pratigya drishtan drishtan tanur tat. The Lord is also the material cause, because only then is harmony between the propositions presented in the Upanishads and the examples given to illustrate the propositions. Brahma Sutra 1.4.23, footnote 5. Gentle Sweta Ketu, you are very proud, praised, thinking yourself a scholar. Have you asked about the ruler by which the unheard becomes heard, the inconceivable becomes conceived, and the unknown becomes known? Chandogya Upanishad 6.1.3. Right, so Sweta Ketu hasn't necessarily inquired about these things, the Yatato Brahma Jagyasa. He hasn't done that yet. He's learned his whatever he's learned. He knows the Vedic, whatever he's studied. He knows for the proper rituals and everything that goes with that. He can apply himself as a proper Brahmin. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't know transcendence. Mm-hmm. Right? Paramatma always remains pure. He is not different from his Shakti, because Shakti is included within the Shaktiman. Right? So in that way, he's non-different. The Shakti, is performing its actions, the Shakti is doing. But it's still included in him, so in that way, he's doing. If one accepts Satkaryavad, the effect is a portion of the cause, residing as a specific quality in the cause and manifest itself at a certain time. Residing as a specific quality in the cause and manifest itself at a certain time. Okay, so the manifestation, because it's not completely the same, otherwise it would be the same. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's certain qualities of that greater quality. And then that, at a certain point, becomes manifest. So that's what's happening with that's the effect. So the effect has qualities of the cause.
Yes, yes.
But those qualities are already existing eternally in the cause. But now, at some particular point, they become manifest. You know, like the creation becomes manifest, or a particular material body becomes manifest. Well, on that side, you have the picture of what's going on this side. Okay.
So, imagine in that presentation, the effect and the cause are the same. One has unmanifested quality, and the other is manifested quality.
It's not necessarily, it has to be unmanifested. You know what I'm saying? The Lord, He's manifest. And then from him he has all these unlimited qualities. And then some, at some point some of them can manifest in this way or that way, in this particular situation or that.
Yes, but in the effect it is manifested.
In the effect is manifested, but it's just like you have a lump of clay. The clay is existing.
Yes.
And then you may take some of that clay and make it into a pot.
Yes.
But the clay existed.
Yes.
And the quality of the clay that you can make a pot existed in the clay. That's why you can make it. Mm-hmm. That's what's not necessarily fully understood in science. Is that you can only perform activities that are inherent in what you're working with.
Yes.
You can't do something like I was seeing some article, and it was talking about where they mix things. You know, you take biology thing, where you can make hybrids off of this and that and put it all together. But it says it'll go down the line like that, but when the thing manifests purple color, that's it. You can't do any more with it. You can't do any more hybrids with that thing. Purple's the end of the line. So that means whatever's allowed between purple and what's the original thing, that's what science can find. But the point is those qualities are already inherent in the original.
Yes.
So, but they'll take it. No, we've made this. No, it's already there. That's why you can say I made the pot. But if clay doesn't have the qualities to make a pot, you can't make a pot. Like sand, you can't make a pot out of sand. You know. So if you could take sand that you can't make a pot, and you made a pot, now you can say I made a pot. But at the same time is, you know, we can take the position of being nimitta, being efficient cause. But we're not providing the ingredients, we're not providing the laws by which those ingredients function. You know, that's the formal cause. We don't provide that. And the origin of those ingredients, we don't provide. That's provided by the original cause. So that means the original cause is there, the original laws are there. And then the material energy that therefore can be manipulated by the living entity, you know, as an efficient cause, then you can get a transformation. But it's not because of us, it's there already. It's by the Lord's will that those things are already there and can go on. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that we're thinking that we're the doers, when we are a doer, but we're a small doer. We're a doer in the context of the Lord and His energies, like that. We're not outside of that. Is that? Yes.
Maharaj, in Mahabharata we see that the Gandharva, Angarapanna wanted to teach this science to Pandavas, the inherent qualities of the matter, how it can be transformed. He wanted to give that science, but Pandavas didn't accept it.
Yes. Yeah, he told him wait for later. But I think at some point one sage came and taught that to Yudhishthir. And then, you know, and Yudhishthir used that knowledge to get the plate. You know, that by you cook something, put it on the plate, and you can serve unlimitedly from there. And then when Arjuna was going to go to the heavenly planets, he spoke that knowledge to Arjuna. So for them, unless there's a very specific purpose, it's not important to them. But like the Gandharvas, it'll be an identity. Yeah, we have this knowledge. We can do anything. We can understand anything. You know, it's like modern science. They think that somebody has a PhD, they literally think they can understand anything. But no, they can understand things in their own discipline. That's, you know, they can do quite well there. But it's not necessarily they understand everything. Otherwise, someone else comes up with another philosophy in the same discipline and proves theirs wrong. So that means there were things they didn't see. Right? At the same time, they may, as an individual, have some capacity in other areas and therefore can have a very nice discussion with someone from another discipline. But technically, they're not authorized to say they're an authority in that. But unless you bring this up, if you don't know that they can't be an authority, and you accept them as authority, they will 100% run with it. 100%. If not more. It means they'd go 110 if they could get it. So that's where the term pontification comes in. They will pontificate on all kinds of things that they're not actually qualified to speak about. Is that, yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. So if it has a use, just like for us, something has a use, we use it. Doesn't have a use, like the car. If it has a use, we use it. If it doesn't have, it's not that we sit around driving around all day and practicing some donuts or a little drifting, and, you know, like this. We're not doing that. We just, you know, the car sits there, and when we're going to go somewhere for a service for Krishna, then we get in the car and use it. You know, and we're not trying to see how quick we can be or this or that. It just gets you from point A to B. So, you know, the speed limit's this. You drive on this side of the road. You just do all those things because it works better. No?
Maybe cycle is more appropriate, Maharaj.
Sorry?
Maybe cycle is more appropriate for
us. Okay, yeah, because even where I was taking it, it even goes more. Yeah.
It's difficult to start our car, yeah.
That's true, that's true. Va charam bhanam vikaro namadeyam mriti kye Mriti ket yeva satyam. Clay takes on a name as it undergoes transformation by actions initiated by words. But clay alone is proven by authority. Chandogya Upanishad 6:14. This proves the effect is none other than the cause, and the cause is non-different from the effect. Right? Because the clay is already there, but the clay alone is proven by authority. Clay is what you're dealing with. Pot is not. Clay is an eternal principle. Pot, there is a principle that you can make clay into a pot, but clay is there. Pots sometimes are there, sometimes not. But the non-difference is there. So actions initiated by words, I'm going to make a pot, or, you know, you should make a pot, or, you know, like that. So you already have that concept, then you can make. Thus, the universe is non-different from Paramatma, who is endowed with Shakti to cause the universe. Paramatma is non-different from the universe. This universe is like the Lord, but the Lord is also different from the universe. And the Jiva also is like the Lord, but different. For from the Lord arises the maintenance, destruction, and creation of the universe. You know this naturally, since you are an avatar of the Lord. Thus I have shown you a small portion of bhakti and knowledge concerning the Lord's power. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:20. Right, so Narad Muni explained to Vyasadeva, you know, how to see these things. Because that was the whole point, is the he's written the Mahabharata and all that. Now, inherent in there is the Chintamaya Veda Tattva, but he hasn't brought that together as that is the hermeneutics of the Veda. Because, you know, the six schools are there, and they come up with their various hermeneutics, but Achinta Beta Veda Tattva, that's actually that is the original Vedic. Mm-hmm. All these other schools are derivatives of that. That's all. Achinta Beta Veda Tattva includes all the others. You can't say, oh, no, they're completely different schools, and that's just a school. No, it's the school that contains all others. Because it's the original. So that's what Narad Muni is pointing out to him. Yes?
Right, so can we say that Vyasadeva started with soft preaching?
Does Vyasadeva start with soft preaching? As far as concerning the absolute truth, yes. But I think as far as religion, not necessarily as soft. The religious aspect, everyone has to follow. They have to behave themselves. They have to do their duties. like that. But as far as how far they want to take their level of consciousness and realization, that he'll throw it in here and there amongst the other things. But the real thing is given. So that's, you could say, in that way, his soft preaching is different from the contemporary concept where they don't actually give them necessarily the absolute truth. So that's why you see his acharyas in their commentaries are quoting from all kinds of, means Upanishads, you know, naturally, like that. There, that's direct. There he's being more obvious about it. But that obviousness is in a in that context of jnana. Right? So that aspect of the supreme absolute truth, detachment from the world, these kind of elements that, you know, were discussed in the previous chapter, then these are the prominence. Like that. So that development of love for the Lord and all that, so that's not the prominent element. You know, like that. But you also will see, so you see a lot of that there, but even in the Puranas, and here, I mean, some of them are more, the Sattvic Puranas will be more, it'll be about Vishnu, and so they're going to hear. But even the Rajasic, Tamasic, they're going to have verses that bring out about the transcendental position. Like that, so many times, you know, Skanda Purana and Linga Purana, these are quoted, that there's a verse there that's directly saying. Mahabharata also has place, I mean, Bhagavad Gita. But it's 700 verses out of 100,000. And then here and there it mentions something. You know, because it'll be mentioned in the pastimes of the Pandavas. So that'll be 25,000 verses a deal with the Pandavas. So some of those will then talk in this way. So in that way you'll have, you know, more than 700, but not necessarily so many. And so Narad Muni points out that people aren't going to see that. They're just going to see is this is what you can do, and even the things what you shouldn't do, they won't see that. And what you can do is not what you can do to become self-realized. It's what you can do is what activity with the body, minds, and words I can do, you know, that's good for me. You know, for the dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Like that. So he's pointing out you haven't given that direct understanding of the absolute truth. So we see is, even we take it that way, is yes, the Vedas have that. That's why they're aparavidya. They're considered the Veda. It's not considered in that way transcendental knowledge, though it is coming from the Lord and all that, but how it's dealing, the method it's dealing, like you said, is basically soft preaching. Though he does give the absolute, but you really people could read it and not catch it. So Narad Muni is saying, be direct. So that's Bhagavatam. So that's direct preaching. Yes?
Also, the aspect that the Vedas always talk about the absolute truth.
Mm.
So they always mention about Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. But what is the unique thing later is mentioning in Brahman and Paramatma in the context of Bhagavan.
Bhagavan, yes.
That's where the Achintya Veda Veda Tattva is.
Mm.
That is the uniqueness of the Bhagavatam when he wrote after the realization.
Mm.
So seeing everything in the context of Bhagavan is what was missing.
Mm.
Otherwise, all the elements are...
All the three elements are there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's just you're making it more clear. So, in other words, direct preaching is what one does. One may do it in a very gentle and considerate fashion. But preaching means direct. Mm-hmm. Like that. It doesn't. There is no such thing. So they say hard preaching, soft preaching, but they're missing the point. It's direct preaching. Preaching means direct. You know, just like you have conservative, you have liberal, but the path is in the middle. But no one wants to address that because you get, oh, that brings us too close to the conservative. Oh, that brings us too close to the liberals. Because it has whatever is of value of both of them and leaves what is not of value that makes them, you know, go farther and farther apart. Because you emphasize the element that makes them conservative, it takes them right out into the, you know, right. You know, you take what emphasis that makes them liberal, it takes them right out to the left. You know, until you become nihilistic, you just destroy everything. While over here, you just completely control everything. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is that, but the fun point is these two ends, because we look at it like this, but it actually is a circle.
Yeah.
So the fascist and the nihilist, then that they're basically in the same platform. As they, that one emphasizes we don't accept any tradition, the other is this is how it's going to get done. But you'll see those elements in both of them. They both make up their own idea and establish it. So if they're able to establish it, you call them a fascist. If they're not able to, they can only destroy what's there, you call them a nihilist or an anarchist or, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just a matter of, you're calling them by what they can do. So, yeah. Okay. The universe is, quote-unquote, like the Lord. Idam Vishvam Bhagavan Iva. Thus, it is different from the Lord. It is like the Lord means it's different. You know? Means the likeness, that's where then the common point, and that's where it interacts. But if it's like, means it's different. In another case, Itaraha, the jiva is similar to and different from the Lord. I ta dat myam idam sarvam. I ta dat myam. Okay. The world is non-different from the Lord. Chandogya Upanishad 6:8-7. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Everything is Brahman. Chandogya Upanishad 3:14-1. Right. So these are Upanishads. So the impersonalists, the Mayavadis can't ignore these, but they take them only how they like. Because here it says everything is Brahman. It says the world is not different from the Lord. So therefore, why aren't they taking these two? And both of them are Chandogya Upanishad. So they should be taking. Is that so? That means everything is, and so, and the world is non-different. So that means the world is like the Lord, but at the same time, is there's a difference, right? So that's the difficulty, because they can't deal with that. I become God, I'm non-different. I'm 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair, and somehow or another I expand into the full Brahman. But the full Brahman was already there. If I take a drop of water and add it to the ocean, I don't end up with two oceans there. Or it's not that that drop of water becomes all that and everything else disappears. It becomes a drop of water. Right, because they can't see the difference, they want to claim, oh no, I've become the whole Brahman. How is that possible? It's not even logical. You know, then they'll say, what's the word? The word when it's not logical and they can't explain it? Anirvachaniya. That always, you can't express it. You know, the Lord is beyond all these things. And at the same time is that, you know, he's beyond logic, he's beyond this, he's beyond that. But at the same time is then they will try to establish with their word jugglery and their logic and grammar their philosophy. So that's the difficulty. It's contradictory.
But without accepting the parampara, there's no other way.
There's no other way. I mean, that's the whole point. When it says... Tadvidi pradipantena padiprashnena sevya, that you approach someone to hear the absolute truth. You approach the spiritual master. So then in there, Prabhupada explains, what does that mean? Right? Because we'll all have our meanings. And then Prabhupada and Krishna and the Acharyas have theirs. So theirs is, they come in parampara. That's the first one. So that's already 50%. The other one is that they are fixed in that knowledge. They have faith in that. They're fixed in that. That person you approach. Because otherwise, if you approach someone who's not fixed, he may be parampara, but not fixed. Yes. You ask him a question, if he can't answer it, he might get bewildered. Yes. Or you might be aggressive in your thing, and he might get bewildered. Yes. So, why do you need... you don't. That's not a spiritual master, that's another devotee. Yes. They have to be fixed. So that's the important point. We'll say, no, he has to be a, you know, Nitya Siddha and Uttam Bhakta, Uttam Adhikari, you know. We'll have all this list of things of what that means, but it means this. That's the essential point, is they're fixed. Yes, the Uttam Adhikaris are really fixed. But the point is the fixedness which is important. The conviction. They're convinced. And it's in parampara. So therefore, just, oh, we take from here, we take from there. But if you don't see it in line with the parampara, it doesn't have any value. There's no point. You know. So that's what then is the important thing. That's how one has to see. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Remember, I think it was Shatadanya was saying, he went into Prabhupada's room one day. And as soon as he came in, Prabhupada just looked at him and very sternly said, "Are you convinced?" And he didn't know, you know, where's that coming from? Because he just walked in. There wasn't a previous conversation. You know, and then, you know, Prabhupada explained that being convinced, that's how things move forward. You're convinced of it, you can convince others. You're not convinced, you can't convince. Does that make sense? So that's the definition. And then, if you take it farther, then that's great, but that's where reality starts. So that's what Prabhupada says, Madhyama, that's the beginning of advanced devotional service. That's the beginning. You know, well, we'll take it that, you know, only, you know, Uttamadhikaris who are Nitya Siddhas and every other term that we want to put on it. Like that. But the point is, no, advanced starts from Nishta. Because they're convinced that bhakti is all, contains everything. Just like you said, achinta beta beta tad, all other philosophies are in it. So if you understand our philosophy, you can deal with any other. You know, whether you've studied them or not, just like Prabhupada, he hadn't necessarily studied all these modern philosophers. But a devotee would come and he would say something on the end, Prabhupada would make a comment. So the point is this particular understanding, this is what would be the original. Like that. And so whatever forms, because you have these different combinations and permutations. You know, permutations is the same thing, just in a different order. Like that. And so if there's a different permutation, we'll think, oh no, what about this? You know, it's like, you know, can I do this, you know, no. Like that, can I do it now? It's 3 seconds later. You know, it's changed, everything's changed, it's a new world, everything's, you know, it's like, it's not like the universe is before, you know, so now can I do it? No. You know, then you just, you know. How about if I stand over here, now can I, you know, it's just, that's the thing, it's permutations, we just take, no, you take the principle. You know, the combinations, that's important, but the permutations aren't. But we deal with them. You know, the permutations, just because people don't make a distinction. Does that make sense? Yes?
I think in the Bhagavatam, the example is Hiranyakashipu. Can you make me immortal?
Yes. Ah, yes.
Can you do this? Okay. And then this? Yeah, okay.
Yes, yes.
And then
yes.
Still he couldn't, because he didn't want to hear the first message. That yes. It's impossible that you become immortal.
Yes, yes.
Not as a body. Yes. But then he just shifted.
Trying to get what you want. So then it's thought that, yes, yeah, see, I got what I wanted. They said it was impossible, I got what I wanted. Yeah. So that's the point of a permutation. You know, you say this way, you know, can I have some butter on the bread? No, can I have some bread with the butter? You know, it's the same thing. But, you know, we'll try. So that's why it's always important. That's why you see as many times as when the acharyas are talking, it's the same thing, it's just a permutation. They just put the emphasis here or there, or put it into a different place. You know, it's like, can I eat this orange? No. You know, I put it over there in the back. Can I eat it? You know. Or I found it in the fridge. Now can I eat it? You know, so. So we like our permutations. Yeah. From the Lord, Yata, arises creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe. I have shown you, Bhavataha, a small portion, Pradesha Matram, of knowledge. Nard spoke thus to Vyas. Right? It's just a small portion because Krishna is unlimited. So you say, no, but I want to know everything. You can't know everything. We're limited. And Krishna is unlimited. But the small portion, because in Satkaryavad, the effect and the cause, if you know what, you can know the other. So you know a drop of the ocean, you can know the whole ocean. But that you're going to say, no, no, I demand to know every drop. There's no question like that. Even the karmis know that doesn't work, right? The person who, you know, demands to know all knowledge and all that, and they have some machine or they have the aliens give them the opportunity, their head always explodes. Every time. Guaranteed. My God. It's just the way it goes down. So you can't know. You know what you can know. But that's the point, is Krishna is complete. And so, therefore, any knowledge of him, it has its completeness. Like that. So, for a particular flavor, then there is that what you know. So Mother Yashoda, it's like she know, you know, they may later in time with Braja know that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it doesn't matter to them. In the beginning, it's kind of like, what are you talking about? But as time goes, it's like you see when they're there at Kurukshetra, and Vasudeva is saying all his prayers and everything, then the Brajbasis aren't getting bent out of shape. They're just waiting when he's going to stop talking so he can take Krishna and go back to Vrindavan. So that point is where the emphasis is. That's what's important. So that knowledge and then what's the emphasis, that's then what is important.
But you see now that if someone is not a pure devotee or not a devotee at all, it means it's always the emphasis is something else.
Yes, the emphasis will always be something. Because if the emphasis isn't on pure devotion to Krishna, it will be on something else. Because as a living entity, we're going to apply the sat, the chit, and the ananda to something. You know, just like the starting point is the sat means we're conscious, the chit means we have knowledge of Brahman, ananda means we have the capacity to experience happiness, so that the Brahmananda, we're experiencing that. But the point is it's not the full understanding, because the point is if that's there, you know, who am I? Where does it come from? So it's still a matter of self-realization. So then if it's I'm servant of the Lord, then you move into the natural position. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say you get some new gizmo, right? In a box, right? And so when it shows up, it has the natural potential to act in that way, but right now it hasn't. So you take it out of the box and then you start to use it in its natural way. That's its natural position. So it's not artificial. So just because it's in a neutral state, when you get it, doesn't mean, oh, you know, it was never active functioning before, so how can I use it now? So unless it was already functioning before they you know, before it appeared and all that, then we can't. So we get into all these weirdo, made-up, you know, philosophies and religions. We make, so that's the meaning, because that was the question yesterday. What does Sarva Dharma Parityaja mean? How to give up all, means all man-made religion. Right? Anything that we've made up, our particular perceptions on things, that has to be given up. And just accept as Krishna says it, as it is, and as the Acharyas have handed it down, as it is. So that's why as it is very important. As it is what we're interested in, not literal. You know what I'm saying? Literal is good for landfill. But better you left it as a tree. Tree is a lot better. We can landfill with other garbage. So that's not important. What's important is as it is. Because these other things are our own made-up religious processes, our own perspectives, our own theories, our own attachments. And so those have to be given up for our natural, because we can say, no, no, but what about the individual? But who is the individual? The body or the soul? The soul is individual. They're unique. There's not another soul like any other soul. Each one is totally unique. Right? But at the same time, means that, you know, they have common qualities, means there'll be qualities of Krishna and in particular combinations. Right? And so, but the body is just made up of elements of the universal form. So that's not unique at all. You know? I take this pot. Okay, yeah, okay. You know, here, yeah, that's pretty ordinary, like that. You know, wow, check it out. Like, look at what I'm so intelligent. Like, you're stupid, like that. Be like this, you know. What do you mean? No, it's not like that. You know, like this, like that. And someone else says, you guys are idiots. It's supposed to be like this. That's what we're doing. So Krishna says, sarva dharma parityaja. Give up doing that nonsense. And just surrender to Krishna. Accept what he says as it is. Practice it as the acharyas have given it to you. Then it'll work. Does that make sense? Yes.
Also this deep misunderstanding amongst the devotees that somehow or other, by practicing bhakti, we can become anything in terms of relationship with Krishna.
Yes.
But here we see that Satkaryavada explains it clearly, that the effect is what's in the cause. What's not in the cause, you can't become that as an effect.
Yeah.
So whatever is our nature,
yes,
that by sadhana, not just doing nothing, is going to happen.
So by skipping rope, we're not going to become, we're not going to get Vastu City?
Not really. So then this quality, which is inherent in the soul, will develop.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's highly logical, but because we want it,
yes,
that's why we believe in it.
We believe in it, yeah. So the also you have the aspect of that the spiritual form develops because of the particular attraction to Krishna, the rati. So whatever's the rati, that will be the form. So it's not that, I want this one or want that. How come I'm getting this one? I want that one.
Yes.
But the point is that form won't even appear until you have rati.
Yes.
You know? It won't appear. So that's how it works. You know, it's just like when the mustache appears, then the father gives you a razor for your birthday.
Yes.
You know, he's not giving the three-year-old, yes, here's, you know, this is my grandfather's and his grand. No, it doesn't happen. So that's the whole point, is when your rati appears, then that form is what will manifest. And so because it's rati, it's attraction to Krishna, that's what's natural. And so we're saying, what's the natural rati that'll come up? If by association somehow or another it goes some other, that's fine. But the point is, it's the rati that defines it. You know? And it's not that, I'll have that, and can I change it? You know, like this and that. I didn't like that. But the point is that's all part of sadhana. You know? Krishna is everything. He is rasa. So everything is tasty. And all the living entities are tasty. So that's the whole point, is that when you have when you're defining the vibhava in ashraya, alambana, right? Then you have the ashraya. It has five kinds of swabhavas. Right? So if you're talking about it generically, there's a swabhava. There's other shanta swabhava, there's Dasya Swabhava, you know, the Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhura, Swabhavas. Then you may have that rati, so it starts from there. In other words, that attraction to Krishna, that's where it starts. Then when one develops and that becomes stable, that becomes the Stai Bhava. Now you work in that way. So, you know, people get worried about all these things, you know.
So now here the rati is the cause.
Yeah, vibhava is the cause. You could say, you know, the rasa is the cause of itself. Bhava then is the cause of itself. It's not come from something else. There's no other cause.
Yes.
So it's not because I want this or I want that. No, it's you function within bhakti, then bhakti manifests. You function within your own, you know, I'll take, one of these, and this is the drink, and we'll have this salad, and like that. That's not going to develop bhava. That's why we hear all the pastimes, we hear all that, and then what attracts our attention, we start becoming attracted to. So, but the first thing is we're attracted to Krishna. And then from being attracted to Krishna, then we start to become attracted to specific devotees and their service. So it's a science, that's how it works. So remember we were having some years ago, there's always the question, well, but all these things are described, so why can't we do it? It's kind of like they're described for those people who are on that platform. So you hear it and you can do it, great. But you hear it and you can't do it, then what part you can do, that's the part you should apply.
I mean, we can't do that.
No, we can't do that. Definitely. You know, I had trouble just walking on the ground, you know, so you'd fall over, you know, let alone running on a wall. They do it with such confidence, right? You know, just run along, and they get to that gate, and they just bounce off of that. And
animals are not mental, it's all instinct.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, they just go. I was watching the other day the monkeys on the what is it, Nityananda Kutir?
Yeah.
You know, so it's all, what do you call it? Corrugated sheets?
Yeah.
And so it makes noise. So at some point, you know, after doing over there, they all came over here. And so many of them are sitting there on the side in the different places. And then a few of the young ones are just bounding around and seeing how much, and they jump in different ways to see how they can make the most noise, you know? And which roos make the most noise, you know, is it the lower ones or the next ones over, this, that, and the other, and then after a while they sit down and another one will get up. But it's always the young ones that do that. They're impressed, how you say, fascinated. Yeah, so the point is the acharyas give everything from A to Z. But the point is wherever you are, that's where you have to start. So if you're on A, you don't say, well, no, but they've given Z so I can do it. You know, that's not how it works. So we just have to appreciate. So it's there. So it's the point is, yeah, you have that rati, then yeah, you work at that level. But if you don't have rati, what's the point? You know, but I want to be a brajbasi, I want to do this, I want to do that. But it's all about you. No, the rati is I'm attracted to Krishna, I'm serving Krishna. Right? By the alambanas there, then because of certain udipans of Krishna, right, the attraction to Krishna, then there's the anubhava that you want to do a service. But they're starting off, I want to do this, I want to do that, but where did that come from? What's the cause of that? It's ourselves. So how is that pure devotion? You have to see, is Krishna's the cause? Then it will make some sense. Does that work? Yeah. Okay. Sarva Sambhadini. A section dealing with the non-difference of the Lord from the effects commences with confirmation from all texts. Right. So now he's going to start the different, how the Lord is non-different from the effects. So this one is you're giving it an overall kind of aspect that this gives, that this is, in other words, this Anucheta 60, this will be the thesis,
yes,
right? You know, within the bigger thesis, you know, like this. But this is now this point. This is the thesis. Now all the other Anuchetas are going to prove different aspects from different angles. So they're going to give reasons, they're going to give the examples, they're going to give everything like that. And the Siddhanta will then at the end come back to this. Like that. So within that, he uses the Panchanga Nyaya, but over the course of the whole thing, he uses the Panchanga Nyaya. So it's a principle. That's why Vedic principles are sometimes hard to understand. Because we think, oh, it's this, it used only in this way. You know, no, it does these things. These particular things. And so in this situation, it works like this. In that situation, it works like that. You know, so it does. The main things it hits, like I remember seeing the, I don't know if you ever watched, the carpenters, the local carpenters, when they're working. They have a hammer, right? And generally, they use these ball peen hammers. You know, you have the regular part at the end, the other hand's round, like that. They don't have the claw hammers for taking out nails, because, you know, they don't take out nails.
No, they do it with the
pliers.
With the rod.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So they'll somehow know that, yeah, either with the crowbar or with the pliers, a bit smaller, I think. That. So the hammer is there because that other thing, it gets in the way. Like this. But you'll see if it's something heavy, then they hit it with normal, with the head of the hammer. But when it's something small, they're doing delicate work, they turn the hammer sideways and hit it there. So but you can say, but why are they using it? The principle is that it hits, it gives pressure. You want a small pressure, you can control it better this way. Because you have a bigger, wider thing, you can go up more closely and hit it like this. Well, the other one, if I turn it like this and have the head, I have to put the hand back on the hammer, and then with my wrist I'm doing it. But this other one, no, I can just get small. But it's the same thing, the same principle, in different ways. So that's the whole thing, is that it's used just as, you know, it's the same thing. It's Satkaryavada. It's the bigger thing, and then there's a portion. Within that, then it has its quality. Within that, there's a portion. Within that, then there's a... The same thing keeps applying down. You know, Krishna, and then he's the cause of Pradhan. But then, you know, Pradhan becomes the cause of the next thing. You know, of the Mahatattva. Mahatattva becomes cause of... Then you have the universe and Garbhodaksha Vishnu. That becomes then that he's the Upadana. And then the next thing's the Nimitta. So it just keeps going, because the one principle goes all the way down. We want to, this can only be used here. And so sometimes when it goes down into a very specific application, it even has different terminologies. Right? When it has different terminologies, that's where you get confused. It's a completely different thing. But it just depends what you're bringing out, what aspect. It's the same thing. So...
It's interesting that the Brahma starts Brahma Samhita, and Brahma, we know, he's a secondary creator.
Yes.
But then he calls Krishna Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. Means he's the cause of the Mahavishnu, who is the cause of all, you know, others.
Yes, yes.
So he understands that position.
Yes.
And that, so then if we put in context, then we also can understand. Otherwise, it's not that easy.
Actually. Yes, yes, it's not that easy. Yeah. So that's why the Lord reveals through devotion, through that, because then it's also because we inquire and we apply it. That's how we'll understand. So, you know.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.